Parents, do you want your child's shoes to fit perfectly? Then you need to get your kids Skechers Stretch Fit shoes. Because Skechers Stretch Fit shoes are so comfortable and so stretchy, they easily slip on and fit almost like a sock. Your child is constantly moving and constantly growing, so they need a shoe that moves with them. And Skechers Stretch Fit's soft, stretchable material contours to their busy feet. It's a perfect fit. And not only do they fit like a dream, they perform like one too. Skechers Stretch Fit keeps your child's feet comfortable all day long. With Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam and a breathable Stretch Fit knit, your child will be cool and comfy whether playing, studying, or just hanging out. Plus, you'll love just how durable they are. Stretch Fit is designed to take everything your child can throw at them, and if they get dirty, just pop them in the washing machine. It's that easy. Give your kids perfect comfort that adjusts to them with Skechers Stretch Fit shoes. Find them at a Skechers store near you, Skechers.com, or wherever kids' shoes are sold.
Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken to them, and apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
Sarah Spain.
She is resigning now in this moment because she has been proven to have failed all of those girls.
And me, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz. We are back.
College football has built into it nostalgia.
Sarah Spain.
A connection to a community. This will not have that.
Jason Fitz.
He is, when he is healthy, considered to be one of the great young pieces in the game.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number three, we are off and running. Touch 'em all, Timmy Grubbs will join us next segment. Talk a little Major League Baseball. Leo Haggerty, 2:30. We'll lead off with interesting storylines in the NFL and in the NBA. We'll start, with Mr. Carlos Medina. You can follow him over on Twitter. Very simple. It's at Front Office Los. He's with The Fan in Atlanta, 680 AM and 93.7 FM. Sir, how are you?
Gus, it's always a pleasure, man. Always appreciated.
It is fun. I got to start with Trey, man. Only other player than Michael Jordan to go into MSG and have three straight games of 30 points. Guy drops 36 yesterday, takes a bow to the MSG fans there after hitting that 30-foot three. How much fun has it been to see this guy really grow before your eyes, man?
Gus, I'll tell you this. It's been a pleasure because the criticism has been not only unwarranted but unrelenting. What has happened when Trae Young entered the league?
Yep.
He was surrounded by a team that was rebuilding. And so what has happened is that now that the supporting cast has gotten better around him, you know, last year the team traded for Clint Capella. He was never able to play. John Collins had a 25-game suspension, never really got going. This year we've slowly seen what's happened as the team has gotten healthy, what Trae Young can be with a full complement of good players around him. And again, it's awesome. And so a lot of us who have been realizing that Trae Young has been playing with guys that really shouldn't be in the league. Now we're seeing what he can do. It kind of validates what all of our feelings have been, that he's a star. He's a young star in this league.
Atlanta getting ready to take on Philly. I love how they tweeted, "See you soon, Atlanta." 76ers. it wasn't ugly. It just, we'll see you soon. You mentioned Clint Capella, the voice of the Pelicans. Todd Raffanini was talking to us yesterday, and every time the Pels would play Atlanta, he's like, this guy here, like, you want a guy like him on your team. You mentioned him right off the bat and talking about the development with Trae Young. I love Clint, you know, spoke some stuff, backed it up, man. I think that is so key to have on a team.
Well, I love, like, guys like Graf recognize, hey, that guy's pretty talented. The thing about Clint Capella is that he isn't going to be intimidated. He's already somebody who makes things very difficult for the offense around the rim, and he's an opportunist when it comes to working with a guy like Trae Young. Trae Young gives him every single game, at least three or four lob passes for easy scores. And so he's been a consistent 10-10 guy for us. We've seen him go as high as 17-10. He's a rim protector. He's all these sort of things that in modern basketball, we always talk about our bigs being able to step out, shoot the three. It's nice when you have a guy who's a little bit more traditional, who makes it very difficult to score around the rim.
Yep. 14 points, 15 rebounds, rebounds yesterday. All right, so look, the big news out of Philly is obviously the meniscus issue with Embiid. They're the top seed in the East, but if he's not healthy or if that's a concern, can Atlanta upset them?
I believe so, and I will tell you this. I picked the Hawks to beat the Knicks in six. I'm glad it happened in five. What I would say is that this is where the Hawks' road should typically end, playing against a team that's a little bit more evolved. The Hawks basically kind of followed the Sixers' plans of how to rebuild a franchise and to have their process. Well, they're now several years ahead of where the Hawks are. But if you're missing your star player and your other star player is not a quality shooter, that really sets up for the Hawks' defense and how they like to play it. So I still think that the Sixers should be the leader in this thing. They should be able to win this series. But this goes from me going, this is 4-1, to suddenly going, you know what, maybe if you can push it to 6, maybe you can push it to 7, you might have an opportunity here.
Speak with Carlos Medina, front office Los Over on Twitter. He's with the Fan over in Atlanta. Just talked a little bit about the Hawks and their series getting started over the weekend. Look, the other big news, obviously, it made me have to look at the calendar and see when June 1st is. It's either Aaron Rodgers or Julio Jones. What's going on over there, man? I mean, I tried to get you on last week to talk about this. Arthur Smith, the new head coach, he's like, yeah, you know, we have communication with players everywhere. I'll let you know what happens next week. I love that he said that yesterday.
Gus, this is a mess. And this is a mess because so much of Atlanta has realized that with the cap issues that are going on here, like the Saints dealt with cap issues, you moved on from a lot of players here in the offseason. That's basically what happened.
Right.
Well, when you talk about Julio Jones, right now the Falcons have less than $1 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. And the easiest way to get it is by moving him off the roster. Julio Jones only played 40% of the snaps last year. Every single time Julio Jones would play more than 80% of the snaps in a game, he was hurt the next week. So you know you have a damaged good here. It's a matter of him moving. But no one until last week realized that Julio had already requested a trade from the team. So this is just this weird deal where both of them know they need a divorce, but how is it going to get done?
And that's what it comes down to, right? You look at the reports, and it's Seattle, Tennessee. Are they really in there so as well? You know, Baltimore, lots of people say they should be looking at like that. You mentioned age. You mentioned dollar signs. Who legitimately can do that? And what is the asking price? Because depending on the day of the week, Diana Rossina tells me it's not a one. Now it's a one. Can they get a one? And if they do get a one, I mean, you don't hang up that phone, right?
I would believe so. I think there are some reports that have it as a one. But when you say a future number one, I think that says 2023, and we've seen this trend in the league. Ooh. Seattle has been part of this. The LA Rams have been part of this. They don't mind trading first-round picks for talent that they realize can deliver. But you're talking about a 32-year-old player who's been hurt. This is not making a move for a Jamal Adams. This is not making a move for a Jalen Ramsey. This is a player who's older. And so I think if anyone's really talking about a pick in the upcoming draft, mm-hmm. you know, whether that ends up being Tennessee, Seattle, anybody else, I think the best they can do is probably a two and perhaps maybe at the very worst a three.
All right. So you think it happens by next week?
It's a weird marriage situation. The problem is this, Gus. There's an artificial deadline here. The Falcons cannot sign their draft class for just training camp until something gets done. So this either happens this week, next week, but they cannot sign their guys and go to camp or have them in minicamp or anything else until this is resolved.
Well, there you go. That's the big part of this, because I'm sure you'd probably would like to have Kyle Pitts in and around the building and hang out, and get, you know, right?
Exactly. Exactly. That's the problem.
Have fun with that, Carlos. I appreciate that. And I thought we had problems in New Orleans. Go give him a follow at Front Office Lowe's. He's with the Fan in Atlanta, 680 and 93.7 FM. And always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Gus, always a good one, man. Take care.
Yep, for sure. That is the key, right? You can't get your rookies in. You can't sign your draft class. That's why you're seeing those reports over and over again that something's got to happen, that it's inevitable that's going to happen. You literally can't sign your rookie class. Hey, good job, Atlanta. Look, anytime we get at least a brief minute, right? A minute, 30 seconds, or heck, a day or a date on a calendar, March 28th, we enjoy making fun of them. So what? It is what it is, right? I like that. But we touched a little bit on that Trae Young thing of him taking the bow. You got to love it. Marv Albert recognizing it during the game.
A standing ovation, yes, in appreciation of the next season. As Young fires from way downtown and takes a bow.
Oh, MSG, boo. Trae Young, why you did so?
I know where we are. I know it's a bunch of shows around this city, and I know what they do when the show is over. So that's pretty much what it was.
That's awesome. Bow and go home. I love that. I know it's Atlanta, but 2 days ago you got Clint Capella. We're going to go to your home and send you on vacation. He provides a double-double the next night. Trae Young, thanks for coming. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Here's a bow. I love it. We touched on it earlier with Ali Kosel, Luka Doncic, 42 points, 14 assists. 105-100 was the win there. What's interesting between the Dallas and Clippers series is no team at home has won a game. When the games are at Dallas, L.A. wins. When the games are at L.A., Dallas has been winning. So what gives? Luka Doncic, how are you going to play at home here this next one to try to close out the series?
We're going to play like we play on the road, man. Those three games we won here, we play with a different mentality. You know, we play hard. I think we relax a little bit at home. But we got to play like we're on the road.
Philly closed out Washington 129-112. Bradley Beal went for 32. Tobias Harris 28. Afterwards, though, I love hearing from Russell Westbrook. Again, remember the story with this Wizards team. When the last time we saw Bradley Beal, you know, drop a bunch against the Pelicans, the storylines were, for the love of something, please trade Bradley Beal. Let him go somewhere else. Russell Westbrook then got healthy, and they had a bunch of COVID issues. So once the team got healthy, they had a chat. 15 games under 500. 15. Russell Westbrook went to the locker room and addressed them and said, we're not missing the playoffs. They got into the postseason. It's for that reason, he says, this season was not a failure.
Nobody quit. And to me, that showed so much when you have a group of guys that when everybody said that we weren't able to do something and got challenged, and I challenged everybody in the locker room, nobody quit. Nobody gave up. Nobody gave in. You know, we got a lot of guys on this team, man, that I'm just proud of overall that teams didn't want. They were third guys, G League guys, first year guys that nobody else wanted. And we put together a team that people wasn't afraid to play us, honestly. And, you know, that's something we should be proud of. And I'm super proud of everybody in the locker room and just thankful to be able to have a group of guys that embraced me so well, you know, from day one.
Indeed. Jazz closed out the Grizzlies 126-110. Donovan Mitchell on the winning side, he played four games in that series. Remember, the team doctors didn't allow him to play in the first game. He got upset, went out publicly and said, you better let me play. I'm ready to play. 25, 29, 30, and 30. That's what Donovan Mitchell provided. And you can hear him got emotional afterwards on this team taking the next step. Now, remember, they're the number one seed this year. But again, as I talked about with Ali, you gotta have a guy like this in the backcourt. I mean, you just, all these teams that are winning in the West that or can, you gotta contend with them.
This one was huge because it was just like, man, like I haven't done this since my rookie year, you know, and I feel like for me personally, and you know, it's just something that I've wanted to accomplish, but it's not the end goal, but it's definitely something you appreciate along the way. And we did, like I said, we did what we were supposed to do, but at the end of the day, you gotta appreciate where you're at too. Because you can get lost in the shuffle of everything. So understanding, doing it in front of the home crowd is big time, but the job's not done and we got to continue to go out there and fight. But for me personally, I think it's a moment that I'll enjoy for the night and then get ready to play whoever it is next round.
You know, the other thing too, before we go to break, Ja Morant in the series, his first playoff series, he had 27 points last night. This is what he averaged in the five games. This is a 4-1 series win. Ja averaged 30.2 points per game, 8.2 assists, shot 48.7%. It was awesome to see him coming off the court. The fans over there at Utah, you know, kind of recognizing that they got loud as he made his way through the tunnel there. He tapped his chest and thanked the crowd. And then he tweeted on his timeline, you know, this was just year two. Can't wait for next year. Wait till you see what happens next year. It's why we talked about it when I had Ali on in hour one. That's why it was so important that this team got a taste of postseason. Now, these young stars like Brandon and Zion, they're a year behind now. These other guys have tasted postseason experience and how to build on it. So, got to get in the playoffs and in the West. Better have a backcourt. Tim Grubbs, I'll ask him my question of questions. And, yes, it has to do with my baseball team. It's the Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
Mom, dust them off, man. Wipe away their tears. Oh, watch out for that family storm. It don't give no warning sign.
Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
It's Mike to tell you for Neil Small Engine Incorporated. Listen up. That's what we did at Gravely. We listened to lawn professionals. Then we brought the professional performance home. Gravely residential zero turn mowers show the neighborhood that you mean business. Zero turns that are as tough as nails, operator comfort beyond compare. We've had 100 years of professional advice to perfect cutting performance. Just drop the deck, put the neighbors on notice. Gravely, driven from within. At Neil Small Engine Incorporated, locations in Houma, LaRose, and Thibodeau.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Once a week, we love to bring in Mr. Tim Grubbs, talk a little Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball as well. As you remember him back in the day here with the Zephyrs, the what were we again? What were we, Tim, after the Z's? I forgot again.
I just keep it at Zephyrs.
Yeah. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Doing well. When people ask me, you know, where were you before this, I usually just leave it as New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. it's New Orleans. How is your team doing, though, man? The Surge.
They are doing pretty well. We are in first place.
Oh,
we've lost some players. We had our first guy called up to the big leagues yesterday with the Twins and Gilberto Celestino. So he went up, didn't have a great day, so hopefully today for him. But, no, things are going well. We're excited, and, you know, it's just great to be back, to be honest, after, you know, a season of no baseball, and now we're rolling. And these ballparks are really starting to open up. You know, we're no longer limited capacities and stuff like that. There's still no one's 100, but, you know, at least they're – you know, pretty full. Most of the percentages are in the 80s or 90s. So, I mean, you're able to really, you know, fill the ballpark for the most part.
You know, it is interesting. It's an element that I've been bringing up that I've enjoyed, Tim, the last, you know, week and a half, really. Seeing stadiums again with fans. And, I mean, Utah last night. I mean, you're seeing, you know, and obviously the Suns with the LA series. It's so nice to sort of see that. Because it wasn't long ago, it wasn't even a month, right? I mean, the CDC, like, by the day, the last 2 weeks has been doing, you know, things to let us get somewhat back to normal. What was it like, man, to actually get back into a game and actually hear on a base hit, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, the first series I did was in Missouri, and they were, like, at 30% capacity. So, you know what I mean? You didn't have – you had fans, so it wasn't an empty ballpark, but it didn't have the ambiance or, you know, the pageantry of what should have been an opening night, especially after a year layoff. But now that we're rolling, it's great. And, you know, obviously now the masks are coming off and they're loosening up even more of that stuff. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, we had a walk-off home run the other night and the place was going nuts and people were high-fiving and hugging each other because it was a pretty big comeback to win the game. And to be able to see that, you know, where, you know, what was it, 3 months ago, people were still staying 6 feet away from everyone and mm-hmm. no one wanted to shake hands or anything like that. It was a lot of fun, and it's good to see that life is getting back to normal. And, you know, I mean, at least we're getting there. We're not there yet, but we're getting close.
Speak with Tim Grubbs. You can follow him on Twitter, Mr. Tim Grubbs. We talk Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball, and who knows what else once a week. Tim, you said the word normal. I'm at a crossroads in my life, Tim. I don't know what to feel about my baseball team or how to feel about my baseball team. Is the normal that the Cubs are good? Because the records and what they're doing and the teams they're beating is making me feel that. But I'm waiting for, you know, like the Scooby-Doo moment, dude, where somebody rips the Phantom's mask and it's, oh, the librarian or something. Because I spent the first 2 weeks saying this is terrible. And they're throwing a wrench, Tim, you believe, into what ownership's plans are about this team.
Well, yeah, I do believe that they did not want to win. But, you know, I was convinced that this was a team that, you know, whether they were going to try trade KB or not, or Rizzo, you know, a couple of the mainstays, I didn't think so. But I thought maybe the other guys they wanted to get rid of. I mean, they are one of the highest paid. Their payroll's up there. And for a team that got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs last year, you know, when they allowed all those teams in, and for a team that was not projected to make the playoffs this year, I think, you know, they definitely wanted to scale back and get some prospects and kind of do a mini reboot. You know, maybe not necessarily, you know, go back down to the Pirates and the Orioles of the world, but now that Flaherty is hurt and he's going to be out for a long time with St. Louis, at least it appears that way, you know, maybe the door is opening. Maybe they do have an open. Maybe they do have a thing, you know, an opportunity to get in. But I'm also one of those people, sometimes if you've got a chance to win it, then you want to make the playoffs. But you don't want to necessarily do everything to get into the playoffs, only to be bounced very quickly.
Right. You know? Look, I keep teasing you and I keep texting you, like, you know, my phone will pop up, bloop, Cubs beat Padres. I'm like, what? Cubs beat. I mean, yeah. I'm like, what? I'm like, why would I keep winning?
One, you know, I mean, I know most people have the Padres as the number one, you know, power.
Well, they're a game back in the West. They're actually above the Dodgers right now, the Giants, who the Cubs play right now. So the Cubs in back-to-back series, well, they won the series against the Dodgers. They won the series against the Padres. And now they're taking on the Giants. Tim, if they beat the Giants series, I'm going to have to say they're good. It's literally the movie Major League. You know ownership doesn't want to do it. And you've been in locker rooms. There is no doubt there's people in that locker room that are doing the, we got to win the whole darn thing. I mean, you know, there are. Tell me I'm lying, dude. I don't know if there's a cut-up of the owner, but I mean, it's the only thing that makes sense. They were terrible to start the year. And I don't know if David Ross went in there and said, guys, they're going to trade all you guys, and I don't know where you're going to go. Some of y'all may be sent to Miami. Some of y'all may be sent here. Maybe one of y'all goes to a winner. You know, the only thing we can control, go out and win. Win the whole darn thing, because, dude, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, and I don't understand it. And, you know, but if I'm a player, and, you know, you put yourself in that shoes, you know, and you like playing for the Cubs and you like to go to Wrigley Field and you don't want to go to Cincinnati or you don't want to go to Milwaukee or whatever, I kind of don't blame them. You know what I mean? Just give your best effort, play to win, and hey, if they get a they trade for a prospect or they, you know, get a higher draft pick next year, that's not going to help you because you're not going to be there. So, I mean, I kind of see it. If I was on a team like that, I wouldn't worry about the future. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to play for a team that's tanking. You know what I mean? So you might as well. Not that I think the Cubs were ever planning on tanking, but, you know, you get the drift. No, so I don't blame those guys for going all out. You know, what is weird, I mean, and I'm witnessing it out here, is, you know, you get a team like the Royals who had the best record in baseball the first 3 weeks of the season, and then they lose 11 in a row, and now they've gone back and starting to win a little bit. And I know they're different than the Cubs. They don't have nearly the amount of talent as the Cubs. I know that team is not very good, and I'm pretty convinced that, you know, and if they decide to make trades or hold on to some of their prospects, that that really will hurt the Kansas City Royals 2 years from now, especially being a small market team. When they're a team that's really 2 years away, and if they decide to go for a mini playoff run here, it could really put a wrench. It could really cause problems down the line.
Giants, Padres, Dodgers, San Diego game back of San Francisco, LA a game and a half. Over in the East, are the Mets good? 27-21?
I think the Mets are good. I mean, I told you before the season started, I thought the National League East was the best division in all of baseball. I thought from top to bottom that the Braves, Mets, Phillies, Nationals were all really good teams, and the Marlins was, you know, an okay team. Well, obviously, I'm wrong about that. That division's kind of been a little roller coasty. I think the Nationals, they ran into those COVID problems earlier, but I do believe the Mets are pretty good. Now, if they can get Lindor, you know, to really get swinging the bat, I think the Mets will be the team coming out of the East. And I don't rule out the Braves because I know they've struggled at times this year, and Ozuna's in some deep trouble. I still think Atlanta will be hanging around for a while.
Over to the American League we go. In the West, it's an A's-Astros sort of battle right now. Half game separating Oakland in first, Houston in second. Seattle 4.5. Can Seattle really be a contender, or is this going to be Oakland and Houston?
I think it's going to be Oakland and Houston.
Awesome, because they throw at each other every time they play each other. So it'll be a nice, good old brutal.
I honestly think Seattle is one of those teams that they're going to have to make a difficult decision, and they're probably going to make some people mad there, because come July when they trade away one of their guys, it's probably not going to look very good, but they probably – that's a team that, let's just say Seattle gets in as the second wild card or something like that. They're probably going to be gone in a day. You know, they're not even going to get to a series, and then you're like, all right, well, what did we do that for? You know what I mean? It does get you in a tough spot when you're a team like that, if they hang in there. But I doubt they will. I mean, it's still early June. There's, you know, this thing will start filling out here before long.
And finally, in the East, Tampa Bay in first place, Boston 2 games back, New York 3.5 games back. Is it those three teams? Toronto's there at 4.5. So, I mean, you see a lot of baseball to be played. But is that going to be one of the tighter races other than, say, the NL West?
I think it will. I mean, the Yankees are not playing well, which is kind of unexplainable. I think the Yankees should be pretty good. They don't hit. They've had more games, or the same amount of games, where they've scored three or less runs than the Pirates. You don't want to be in the same sentence as the Pirates in anything. But Tampa Bay, how about the Rays? You know what I mean? I know we write them off every year because you don't know who they are. But, wow, they're right there. I do think, and I know you said, should we talk about Toronto? I think Toronto is a lot better than people think. They've had a weird year. You know, they played all their home games early in the year down in Florida. Now they've moved to Buffalo. I think if for some reason Toronto can hang in by the time they get to actually Toronto, which might be in August, that would be like a real shot in the arm to finally go home after they haven't played a home game since 2019. That could be the boost that Toronto could need, because I think, you know, once Springer gets going, I think that Blue Jay team's pretty stacked.
That'll be interesting to see, man. As always, I appreciate the time. And Tim from his 4 days in New Orleans. That's how we're going to go with just New Orleans? We'll just do New Orleans.
Just go with New Orleans. And Zephyrs is fine, too. And we'll just leave it at that. I don't want to say anything else.
I'm good with it, as now you call the wind surge. But anyway, they're in first place, so I can't make fun of them. Always a pleasure, man. I'm glad you're fine.
No,
and you're doing well.
It's always fun. It's fun talking about all this stuff. And you know, hey, maybe we'll have some funny stories to talk about next week, too. We can add a little
buddy, twist. We miss you, man. In particular, my little guy misses your daughter. I'm just saying, he grew 5 inches in one school year. So, you know, there might be some
That's
sports
awesome.
Involved. 5 inches, dude.
5 inches. I know my daughter's grown a lot, but I don't know.
No, 5 inches. Like, legit. There. They like, took, like, measured him with, like, some ribbon day one.
Right.
And the last day of school, they did it with another color ribbon, and they gave it to us. And we measured it, and it's 5 1/4 inches.
That's awesome. That's, well, it's a fun age. You're,
and it's my DNA, Tim. I can promise you that. It's my wife's DNA. I'm 5'7". It ain't me. You've seen me. Anyway, I grow the other way, my stomach with the beer. Pleasure,
oh,
man.
Have, yeah.
Yes, exactly. We'll chat next week.
I'll be doing my 12-inch curls, too.
There you go. Yes,
12-inch
curls. I love it. There he goes. We come back. Leo Haggerty will go over some NFL storylines here as well. The Sports Hangover and ESPN New Orleans.
Lips like sugar. Just
Goodyear knows the importance of keeping momentum as you head down the stretch. Momentum starts with movement. It's pulled from the air like a contested rebound. Momentum builds with steals and fast breaks, and is proven by deep threes as the shot clock expires. Momentum is how we change the game. And now it's time to discover where it can take us. Goodyear, more driven.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Of course we can help you find the right oil for your next change. We've got what your car's engine needs. Right now you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. And you can get it all fast your way. Just order online with our free same-day store pickup or next-day delivery. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good. But cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the 9th inning kind of good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract. All on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you could pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
G-Shawn. Jay Will and Zubin.
I always worry about Alex Smith moving forward. He wants to play. I wish him the damn best of luck to play. I would love to see him maybe be a backup quarterback down, maybe in Jacksonville, work with a guy like Trevor Lawrence, transition that into a coach. But every time he steps on the field, I'm worried like hell for him, because I think it's much more important for Alex Smith to think about running with his kids more so than running on a football field.
G-Shawn, Jay Will and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosted Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Sports Magazine's Leo Haggerty will join us here in a moment. Buddy, you're having great luck today. Everyone's going to voicemail. Hey, you know what it is? It's the summer. Everybody's doing things. Vacationing here, vacationing there, vacationing everywhere. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in here as well. We're going to touch on a couple of interesting things. One of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, the other, again, the USFL coming back. And then also, I thought it was interesting, it's football related here as well, as I saw this pop up earlier, and it had to do with college football and Nick Saban and obviously the dominance of Alabama. And not that anyone ever wants to really hear about it, but are you surprised when you actually see something or a graphic or whatever that, I guess, stands out? And I don't know how else to really say it other than it stands out. When you look at the fact that only 14 times since Nick Saban took over have they lost. Like, that's just nuts, isn't it? When you think about it from that perspective. 14 wins in the Nick Saban era. Auburn has the most, 5. LSU is next. They've beaten Nick Saban 4 times. Clemson and Ole Miss, they've beaten twice. And then Ohio State, Oklahoma, A&M, South Carolina, Utah, Florida, Georgia, Florida State, Mississippi State, and ULM. have been able to claim one win against Nick Saban. Again, it's just strange, man, when you think about it like that. That's not that many teams, you know. I've been able to pull off a win. That's just it's incredible when you look at it. Jack, thank you for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, sir. What you got?
Hey, Gus. You know, I heard somebody say around the draft that Nick Saban has more number one draft choices than he has losses since he took over.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, 14. I got to imagine he's had more than 14, you know, number one draft picks than losses. That's incredible when you think about it, isn't it?
It's insane. It really is. Look, Gus, I wanted to ask you about the USFL coming back. The when are they planning on playing? What time of the year?
Spring. I mean, that's all that the release says. It doesn't say, you know, February. I'm assuming it would start, what, in March and in May, June, something of that nature? Go, you know, spring, summer, maybe start in February? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that might work. Because, I mean, the reason, I mean, I live real close to, you know, the Zephyr Field.
Right.
The reason I didn't go to more ball games is because our summers are miserable, as you well know.
No, it's hot.
I mean, you can play it out. I mean, you complained all the time about going to Saints practice because it's just
absolutely
not a lot of
fun.
No,
I mean, I was teasing Chris Player this morning when I was texting back and forth with him. Like, he's in 50-degree weather. I went and got the garbage cans from the front of the house, and my shirt was, you know, stuck to me. I mean, you know, just the humidity and the rain that's been happening. So, I know, Jack, would you support it?
Yeah. I mean, if they did it, you know, in the spring, like I said, I wouldn't go out there once – you know, once the weather gets bad. But, I mean, if they did it in the spring, I'd go. Especially, you know, if it was at Tulane or someplace. But Gus, this is what I think they need to do. Okay, they were talking about eight teams, right? So there's 32 NFL teams. Maybe you divide up the teams where you have four NFL teams supporting each team. And that way there would be, like, a direct link, you know, from the NFL – well, from this league to the NFL. Maybe you bring your young players there.
You bring up a good point, and that's something that would maybe make sense in that's why the XFL under The Rock has paused when they're starting because they're trying to collaborate, as you're saying, with the CFL. So maybe to your point, you know, you're tied underneath the CFL or you become their, for lack of a better phrase, AAA program, right, where sort of like the G League that's going to be with the Pelicans in the NBA. You know, to your point, I've always said that it would make perfect sense to me, you know, to have, say the NFC South maybe support a team that plays in this USFL, you know, and those teams have rights to some players and they can go put them in to get some work in, whether it's like JT Barrett or others, because they just don't get the snaps. I've said this, you know, as long as I can. I don't know how you develop a young quarterback that isn't looked at that's going to start this year or next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jordan Love was not drafted to see if he could develop. They drafted him to be a starter. They thought that he would be. But for other guys that are, you know, at a lower level, it's, you know, like Ian Book. Like, where is he going to develop? Like, when right. is he going to, like, when is he getting snaps and throwing to Michael Thomas? When is he getting – because – and I say that because if you go to a practice and you watch a team, period, you feel like there's a massive drop-off. And I feel for those quarterbacks that take the third or fourth team rep, and I say rep because most of the times it might be a rep at best. And if right. it's two, one of those two reps, Jack, might be a handoff. And then the next one is a screen floating pass to the running back. Boy, I tell you, JT Barrett really got to develop on that one. And that's if he gets the snap. I'm not even joking. Like, there was times, man, where Barrett or whoever, like the third or fourth string quarterback, literally got worm burners by the center. He gets two snaps a team, period, and both of them are one hopping off the ground. You know, it's like, and then, boop, there's the whistle, water break. Put Drew back in. You know, it's where do you develop? That's training camp. So where is he developed?
I agree with you. I think it would be better for the guys trying to make the team. And I also think that people would be more likely to support the team if they thought they might eventually see it playing for the Saints.
Yeah, I agree. I hear you. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate the phone call, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Leo Haggerty, It Sports Magazine joins us. Sir, how are you this afternoon?
I am in a deluge in Austin, Texas. It hasn't been raining since 8 this morning. What can I tell you?
Yeah, it's raining here. Hopefully it stops before I take off later on this evening. I want to bring something up interesting. It will touch on Tom and his admission, not like we didn't know, but we'll get to the admission in a quick second. But I saw this morning on Get Up, and it really stood out to me. And you've coached football, you've played it, so help me understand how this would help. But the stat was brought up, apparently, and brought up during OTAs over in Baltimore, that Lamar Jackson, they're going to work him under center a lot more. Remember, you and I talked about this, I want to say last week or so, about if you're going to pay him, can he run it? He rushed for 1,000 yards last year. And am I paying $40 million for somebody I can get hurt and I can't throw or run? So he's going to go under center more. Here's the stat. He took 889 snaps last year. 36 were from under center. 4% of his snaps last year in the NFL came under center. 36 of 889. So let's just start from the beginning. Why does going under center make it better for him or help him?
Well, you know what, Gus? Probably what happened is of those snaps, I would guarantee you half of them are probably the victory formation where it's taken a knee.
Wow.
And so meaningful snaps. And, Gus, let's go back to college because this is where everybody needs to understand why the quarterbacks have a problem getting under center in the NFL. Because of the widened hash marks and because of the rules on the RPO where linemen can go 3 yards down the field, people use the spread because it's almost impossible to defend. So when guys get to the NFL, they don't have to point out they've never pointed out the mic in their life. But by getting him under center, it puts play action into play. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you want to get Lamar Jackson under center.
Interesting.
Now, you can at least make a play action because you got to run the football. And if you're running it with number 8, you're holding your breath every time. That's like
right.
you said. He's
right.
got 1,000 yards. It's not good. So they need to come up with plan B to run the football, but not take away the things he does.
And that's what hit me. I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, you kind of take away a little bit of what he does if he's under center, right? I mean, he's got to drop back. His momentum, his body, his weight, everything's going backwards for 2-3 steps before he can plant or even stop and then try to run forwards, right? I mean, like Taysom Hill, I'm thinking of how the Saints use Taysom. I mean, very rarely is he under center and runs if it's not like a dive, a sneak, or something like that, right? For the most part, I know you can do the RPOs out of that. Maybe that's what you're thinking, that out of center, it's going to be tougher to get him. It's going to create more confusion. Maybe it's closer to the line of scrimmage, so then he just has to slip one or two breaks, and then he can get into space against a linebacker or something. Could that be another reason, too? Maybe they're actually looking to use him more, but it could be beneficial from doing it from the line of scrimmage.
And you know what, Gus? I can go back to when John Gruden won the Super Bowl with the Bucs, and he called the shotgun a gimmick offense. And I asked him, okay, coach, what do you think that is? To take his eyes off the defense to catch the ball. If he's getting a direct snap, he can eyeball what he needs to do, and he works through his progressions faster. What will happen, Gus, is if they put him in the center, they're going to do a lot of 3-5-step drops because they want the ball out of his hands. And when he gets to that fifth step, if he doesn't see that, he'll probably get to a second progression. You know what the third progression is? Number 8 takeoff. And that they can probably live with because it's not a designed running play. And again, we've seen quarterbacks, you know, Steve Young. You know, he ran and made it. But you know what? You are just rolling the dice every time he gets down the field because let's say he slides late and one of those linebackers gets to him. Man, there's no telling what could happen then.
Yeah, you know, I want to get to two other quick things. We'll wrap up with Tom Brady. Obviously, the Bucs, the team that you're based out of. But I think the thing that also stands out to me is, you know, is that maybe why the Ravens should be one of those teams that pursues Julio Jones? Like Arthur Smith yesterday or today, I think it was yesterday for OTAs, said, we'll see where we are next week. We spoke with Carlos Medina from The Fan in Atlanta earlier this hour. He said this is simple. They can't sign their draft picks and have them in the building until they do something because of the cap. And that something means trading him. Like Kyle Pitts, it's all great what you can do with him. He can't go into the building and practice for the mandatory mini camp later this month because you have to alleviate cap money here in Julio Jones. So where do you think he really does go? I've seen Seattle, Tennessee. Lots of people think Baltimore makes a lot of sense. He wants his money. He's not going to take discounts. So where do you think he goes?
You know what, Gus? This is going to scare you. Put him in Cleveland, and what does that team look like with that defense? I'll tell you what, now all of a sudden, you've got a quarterback that's on the way up. You've got all of a sudden a vintage wide receiver who can play football. I think Cleveland is a spot. Any of the teams in the NFC West is a great spot for him because that would be the they are so – you can throw a rug over all those NFC West teams. They're all going to be in the same boat. You bring in a Julio Jones into Los Angeles or San Francisco or Arizona or Seattle, that puts them at the top of the list. And that may be something to happen, but I can't believe they haven't gone to Matt Ryan and said, hey, Matt, can we restructure? Can we keep this guy?
Because he's $40 million himself. Exactly.
Yeah. Find a way to restructure that. And that's the thing. Hey, Matt, we can't keep him unless you restructure. I don't think that Ryan would say no. I think they're just dead set that they're going to have to lose him. And I'll tell you what, Kyle Pitts and Julio Jones on the same page, that's something.
Yep. I don't think we're going to see it, though. Let's wrap up with your guy, Tom Brady. He's been awesome. He's been on Twitter. He's doing memes. Apparently, he's doing well with the knee. I'm seeing, you know, photos of him without the knee brace. All these different things. The quarterback coach says the knee sort of bothered him, but we all care about the fact he finally admitted, Leo, he did not know in that Bears game it was fourth down. Are you shocked and surprised he finally admitted it?
Gosh, you and I talked about it the next day. It was obvious. He turned to the referee with three fingers up. Okay, he thought it was third down. And the way the Bucs played in Chicago, everybody screwed up, which was the best thing because Arians could point fingers at everybody. Yeah, it's kind of like a non-issue. The bigger issue down there is the 20-0, and man, I'll tell you, if people are drinking the Kool-Aid down here in Tampa, believe me.
Well, I wanted to wrap up with that. Look, Pat Mahomes says that's the goal, 20-0. He's got, you know, teammates today saying, hey, he wants five rings and all this stuff. We brought it up earlier in the week and last week that he has talked about that he'd trade a couple of Super Bowl trophies in order to do that. So, let's just wrap up with this. Got 60 seconds. Do you think 17? And I know we saw the Patriots do 16, but 17's a lot. I know it doesn't sound like more just by one more game, but that's can you go 17-0? You think? You think there's teams right now that are that good that can do that? I just think the injury, what we've seen, man, it just affects. You lose a lineman, you lose a skill player. It affects you.
You know what, Gus? It's almost impossible with the way the schedule's set up, with cross country playing, people going over to England to play, people playing on Thursday night, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's almost impossible to go 17-0. Plus, I don't think you'd want that pressure. Look at what Kansas City had last year, just with one loss. They had the pressure of trying to repeat. That's one of the hardest things to do, is to repeat, flat out. So to go 17-0, Gus, I don't think it's happening.
Leo Haggerty, as always, man, I appreciate the time. We'll talk again next week, and enjoy the rest of your time up there, seeing the new baby. Safe travels back to Tampa, sir.
Absolutely. And enjoy your trip to Florida.
Looking forward to it, man. Hopefully I'll see the sun. Lots of rain in around these parts. Final segments of the Sports Hangover coming up next. Don't go anywhere. And you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
I had a lady playing on the piano. It was like an hour cut to my ear.
Hey, New Orleans, this is Nate Osborne, head coach of the NOLA Gold, your Major League Rugby team.
Hey, New Orleans, it's Cole Mayer of your NOLA Gold rugby team. The 2021 Major League Rugby season is here.
In the Shrine on Airline, now called the Gold Mine.
The Gold Mine is COVID conscious, so you can spread out around the stadium to enjoy the hard-hitting, non-stop action of Major League Rugby, filled with world-class players.
And mate, the best part is that our season tickets are about the same price as one game in other pro sports. Check us out at NOLAGoldRugby.com or just call 50 Rugby.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
What happened was unthinkable. Work as we know it powered down. But Etail is here to keep business on. On to turn your home office into a powerhouse. On to plan your epic power lunch. On to keep your virtual team connected. On to make you unstoppable. This is the one thing Etail business can do for you, and that's connecting you to work every day. Etail is on for business.
Some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It is the final segment of the Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003. Got a couple of games tonight over in the NBA playoffs. Obviously, the one everyone will be paying attention to.